To me, you have to have habits. Habit is everything, in my opinion.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Coach Herman Mandola, the head basketball coach at Manchester Basketball. Originally from Argentina, Coach Mandola began his coaching career as an assistant with Club Atletico San Lorenzo and Club Atletico Olimpico. He then served with Argentina's national team before moving to Japan's men's national program, holding both assistant and head coaching roles. In 2022, he took a position in Italy as an assistant and was later promoted to head coach. In 2025, he took over at Manchester and was quickly revitalized the program. His international experience brings a unique perspective to player development as well as team culture. Manchester made a major leap under his leadership, rising from the bottom of the standings to a top four finish. In this episode, we talk about the first steps he incorporated once taking over as head coach, the building blocks that led to Manchester's turnaround in their program, and major differences from international basketball to basketball in the USA. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach Herman Mandola. Dr. Dish Basketball, the number one selling shooting machine in the world, provides the most innovative game-like training with on-demand workouts, multiplayer stat tracking, and instant analytics that allow coaches and players to be better every day. All you have to do is mention Rising Coaches for an exclusive discount on a Dr. Dish shooting machine for your team. What's up, coaches? And thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. As always, Alan Major, Doug Caputo here, getting an opportunity to chop it up, learn a little bit more basketball. This time, we're going across the big pond, and we're going to learn more about people over this play styles, bunch of different things. But first, before we get into that, I have to give a quick shout out to something we've been working hard for. As we always say, the Rising Coaches Conference collabing U.S. Nike Camps and Snow Valley Camps, July 22nd, Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California. Make sure to sign up for it. You have a limited time left, so make sure that you get on top of that. Make sure you sign up, and there's going to be a lot of coaches and a lot of great speakers. Now, as we always say, the reason you're here, the reason you want to listen to this isn't to hear our voices. I know those could probably be watered down. You are here to listen to the head coach with Manchester Basketball, Coach Herman Mandola. Coach Mandola, welcome to the podcast. What's going on?
Wait, great pronunciation. Great.
We're working on it. I'm working on the tongue roll. I'm working on it. Yeah. We'll get there eventually.
You see, you told me this is a space to learn. You know what I mean?
That's what we're doing.
That's right. It's all about development. That's right. Coaching is coaching.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you being on here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As I said, I know we have had just one, the experiences that you have had so far, you being Argentina assistant, Japan, Italy, now being a head coach, recently appointed. I think it was, about 6 months ago that you were recently appointed the head coach?
In Manchester, I started in February 21st. So okay. I finished my job in Italy February 18th. And February 21st, I flew to Manchester.
There's a lot of things that we can dive into, especially for international ball, because a lot of people are wondering just why international is excelling so much more right now. And there's a lot of things that we can get into. But before we get into that, obviously, we want to dive into a little bit about your background. As I said, having a strong background internationally, just overall, from a basketball standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, I know you've worked with people in the States. Just what do you feel are some big differences? Like, why are international basketball taking that huge step? And we're seeing such growth internationally. You're seeing so many better play styles, different variations. Like, what do you think are some big differences right now?
Yeah, I think every place is different. So I believe 100%, even in the same country, in the tailor-made suit, like, okay, Milan is not the same than Varese, because the people in Varese, you have to know the history of Varese before to go there. Manchester is not the same than London or Caledonia, and they play in the same league. And Japan is different to everywhere. You know what I mean? So when I went to Japan, it's like I got to take out my chip, my SIM, and put another new one. just because the culture is so strong and it's so new for me. It's different than everywhere where I was before. So something like, I'm from Argentina and we used to hug, we used to touch people, we used to kiss people. And when you went to Japan, as soon as you arrive, you realize like you can touch nobody here. You know what I mean? You are not gonna touch, or even in the way you present the things. You know what I mean? I remember the first week in the training camp, I presented one tray different in one screen, and I trying to touch in the hip one guy, and they look at me like a coach. This is illegal. You know what I mean? So because in Japan it's legal or illegal. It's like, what you are talking about? This is illegal. It's not a law. I said, yeah, but this situation, I said to myself, this situation happened in basketball. You play always in the border between the legal contact and the illegal. We can see it right now in the NBA finals. So we reset and we start to present all the thing before to go to the practice with the term like legal contact, legal. And then we start to show videos about the higher levels, NBA first, because Japan looks the NBA first and nothing. And then Euro, and then Argentina. And okay, guys, this is Japan, which is very good. The country works perfect, but basketball world is different. If you want to be successful in basketball world, you got to copy the best one. So we start to present things like this. Maybe you go to Italy and we show like how they play in NBA, the Italian people, which they have a history, because at one point in the 90s or in the 2000s, they were the second best league in the world. She know a lot of good players play there. They look at you like, what you are talking about? We are better than those guys. You know what I mean? So you got to show something by yourself and how you are going to improve your team. So I think every place is different. I think the best athletes of the best basketball players and the best coaches are in the United States, because they have you have the best league in the world. But and you can cope from there, but I think the international basketball is growing up faster, even faster. We are in 2025, everything happened faster. Like I used to talk with a lot of old coaches and say, no, but in my time, your time is not anymore here. And it's not gonna be anymore here. And it's not gonna happen. If you don't get into the ball, into the train, you're gonna be out. So you gotta adjust. You gotta accept the adjustment every single second. For that reason, to me, the biggest difference between America and international are the talent United States have. Between every place are a lot of different, because it's gotta be really into the culture of that place. I am from Buenos Aires, the capital of the country in Argentina. I work in Santiago del Estero, which is 1,000 kilos from Buenos Aires in the north, and it's completely different. They look at me like a foreigner. So and this is personal, you gotta go very deep into the culture before to take the shot. Then into the culture is easy. It's where we had the knowledge, for that reason they signed us. But you have to know culture, or maybe you are going to talk about one player and said he wasn't good enough, but that player was from that city and he's the idol of everyone, and they are to look at you a little different, right? So you have to know a little bit. So this is the biggest situation, the biggest difference between every place where I was.
It's interesting how you said knowing a culture, because every place you go, you're literally trying to adapt and adjust to that culture, because that culture is going to help you communicate, and then that communication is going to help you coach. And so it's very difficult just to jump into a place and just start coaching. You have to adjust in so many ways. But talk about the difference. I think in America, we have our training module. In a given week, it's games, maybe skill development, and then practice. It seems to me in Europe that's completely different, that it's practice and skill development several days, and then maybe one or two games per week on a youth development level is what I mean. So it seems totally opposite in Europe that development is the focus and then games. And here in the States where it's games are the focus and then maybe development. Do you see that being true in Europe?
Yeah, that didn't happen. Yes, development, system development, because to me in United States, the player development, like the player had the value for the franchise. You have to draft one guy being like 3 points to 10, and you gotta in 4 years, you have to create from this 3 point guy, 3 points like in the range, no, 0 to 10. You gotta give to the franchise 1 7 guy because this is the value at the end of the, or if you take 1 7 guy, you gotta become 1 10 guy like Anthony Edwards. But this is the player development where into the NBA they have, or you have guys like very the eyes putting on the players. In Europe, I think is more system development because the most important thing is winning the next Sunday, is win or die. And you are going to have, I mean, in Varese, I was 3 years there. The second year we played the cup, which is like Wednesday, and you can develop the team a little less. But in Varese, the owner of Varese is Luis Scola. Luis Scola is, his background is NBA. He's 10 years in NBA. So the first year in Varese, I was the head of player development. I worked with Matt Brassi at that point. And the development of the player was very important. We do vitamins every day. Even we put the name vitamins because vitamins is something like you have to take every day. If not, it's medicine because you take when you are sick. So we do vitamins every day, no matter what. The second thing we used to say, like our mentality. So we used to think one into the game and one outside the game. Into the game was next play mentality. We want to play fast, no matter what. But during the week, the mentality was so what? We lost, so what? We got to do vitamins. We win, so what? We got to do vitamins. We are happy, so what? You got to win the next one. Or you are sad because you lost. Okay, so what? We got to come here Monday and we got to practice. But this is a little different because even they don't have the biggest budget in Europe. Even they don't have big budget. You have to bring players at one price, but they had to play for another different price. And there is where they are going to have, or they are going to make the gap between the biggest budget and then smaller. With this and with the efficiency, like playing efficient than the other, more efficient than the other, is where they are with the lower budget, they are going to try to catch up that gap. And then in Manchester, I really believe in the player development. I believe 100% because at the end of the day, you can develop your system. You can have the best system in your world, but you pass, cut, whatever, the coaches, the X and O are going to put the guy really open in the corner. But then if that guy miss the shot, that doesn't mean nothing. So it's one, I really believe in the player development, and I think it's not one or the other. No, if I develop my players, I not develop my team. So, but you have to believe in this because it's hard for one, for the coaches. I was in both positions. I was head coach in Italy and I was head of player development and I was assistant. And it's tough for one coach when you have to win the next Sunday, a right Monday, I say, oh no, we are going to start with the skills. We are going to put two players with two coaches here, two players. The other players are going to arrive later because it's Taylor suit. And then we are going to start the practice. And when you lose it, okay, but the players are going to be tired when we start the practice. You have to believe in that. And I do the same situation in Manchester. And when I arrived to Manchester, the team was really bad. We were eighth. And doing the same thing, we arrived four in the best qualification in the last 25 years. So I think like you can do both. The situation between, or the difference between Europe and NBA, sometimes in NBA is okay to lose one game because then you're going to get one higher position or more chances to have a better draft. So it's okay. And the people know that. In Italy, it's not okay because you're going to be in relegation. Or you can be in relegation. This is the big difference between them. And then it's just if you believe or not. And I believe 100% for that reason, Varese is like a more American style because the owner and the GMs are American. The owner is Argentinian, but with the background in NBA, and the GMs are American. But you can do it. At the end of the day, I do it in Manchester where everyone were from UK.
There's a lot of things that we have to learn from international basketball, I should say from the States, in the perspective. If you look at, I saw this graphic, I remember seeing it not too long ago. It was like all of the MVPs that have won in the last, I think it was 7 years, were all international. Obviously, the most recent one, Gilgeous Alexander over in Canada. So that one obviously is still international. But every other one was like Giannis, Jokic, like I think Embiid. So it's like all these guys are getting this from international. You could tell they're developing so much better. And now those people are getting bigger and better and stronger than ever. So it's just like the combination of these guys, it's getting crazy. Is you can see it evolving so much. And I do want to have to make sure, assistant coach over with the Sixers, Coach Matt Braza, as you mentioned, I want to give a shout out to him. So thank you for being able to connect us. I know you were his assistant coach over in Italy for a little bit, and you got to work with him, as you mentioned, and then obviously transitioned you into being the head coach now at Manchester. But just looking back with the career that you had, being the assistants that you had in these different countries, were there any big lessons just as a coach that anybody can really take away? What were some big things that really helped form your identity as a coach to then lead you into what you have now over at Manchester? What kind of things had built that philosophy?
So I used to say this, like when you are a season coach, you think you have all the answer. When you are a season coach and we are sitting, you have all the answer. And when you became a head coach, I became a head coach in Varese. So in the same club, it's like the basketball changed all the questions. So yep. You feel like you have all the answer, even when the owner comes to talk to you, like you're not gonna fail. But then when you are a head coach, like the same people who used to talk with Dennis start to looking at you. This is the first situation. Try to be in the shoes of the head coach always, and something like for you is easy to change. Maybe it's not easy for the head coach, or the head coach have different reason for not do that. This is the first situation. The second situation is you have to tell everything, even if. As assistant coach, you have to be ready for uncomfortable conversation. Why? Because this is personal. I hate the assistant coach who come and said, I was thinking to tell you this, but no, if you're thinking to tell me something, tell me. So as a head coach, I prefer you tell me. Whatever, even you tell me I don't like your haircut, tell me everything. You know what I mean? Where into the office. Into the office. Then when we get out of the office, it's just one sentence. And yep. Who is going to decide that sentence or that is the head coach. At the end of the day, my opinion, I don't care about your opinion. I don't care about your feelings. And I feel this as assistant coach. I still being assistant coach right now in the national team with Pablo Prigioni. When Pablo, I said, Pablo, we got to do this. And Pablo said, no, I prefer to do this because the head coach never said, I don't trust you. Because if you are assistant coach, at one point he trusts you. So when the head coach decide or tell you, I prefer to do this, okay, you can argue for sure into the office. But then, okay, let's do with this. And this is the best one. And then as assistant coach, what I learned is the players and the press journalists are trying to open one door. They are trying to open always your door. If you allow to open the door, then you are not going to be able to close the door anymore. And others, the agents. If they ask, you know, what's happening with the coach? And you say, yeah, maybe he's, I don't know, he's nervous. You are not going to be able to close that door. The next one is going to be, why this player doesn't play? The next one is why you don't recommend this player to the head coach. And the first time you say no, they are going to be mad. And the same with the coach, with the players. Why I don't play? Why he's over me? Why? And the best thing to me, if I got to tell to one assistant coach, is like the first time they come, you got to hit in the mouth the first time, because then you are gonna be in one trap. You know what I mean? You are gonna be in prison of them. And the second, one of the my golden rule is, if you are gonna do something, before to do this, think is what you are, if what you are gonna do is the best for the team. It is not the best for the team, don't do it. Or you are gonna make, you are probably making a mistake. If it's the best of the team, you are not gonna make mistake. Never, never. So if you are gonna help one agent, in my opinion, is because that helped the team. If you are gonna talk with the owner, or you're gonna have a dinner with the owner being assistant coach, is because you are gonna help the team. Or you are gonna help the head coach. If you help the head coach, you are gonna help the team. If not, don't do it, because at the end of the day, it's the same situation we say to the players. How you are gonna put your face in front of the player? You gotta pass the ball. You don't have to be selfish if you are being selfish. And as a head coach, you have to, what I did or what I used to do is like being very precise and very honest in the first day. I trying to hit in the mouth to the staff or in the first day. So I don't want this. I don't want this. And it's with the X and O's and with the communication, with the internal and external communication. So I don't want to pull up too. I don't want to. Why? Because the number told me they are inefficient. And the number doesn't have any feeling. So I don't want this. So it's going to happen. The first week sometimes happen. So you got to be very aggressive with that. But I don't want to be aggressive and my assistant coach put me one face, because I say before. So to me, as assistant coach, you got to know you don't have all the answer in the world. So as assistant coach, you breathe different. You are more chill. And as a head coach, and then it's, as a head coach, the first ATO is going to be easier than the last one. The first ATO, you're going to, it's easier. The last one, when you had to hit one shot to win, or it's going to be different in the timeout, you're going to breathe different. That's my opinion in my experience. But I talked with Julio Lamas. He's the best coach, or one of the best coaches in Argentina. He coached the Golden Generation. He coached in Real Madrid, Japan, and he's still living the same situation. So it's like it's nervous, it's pressure. Our job is pressure. At the end of the day, it's pressure. It's not pressure like one sick. If your son is sick, it's not this, it's different, but it's pressure. And you feel like this. And as a head coach, you are the face. And the people, even if they don't know, because happening in both sides, in my opinion. Sometimes they say, no, you are a good professional. Why? If you don't know me. Or you are a bad coach. Why? You don't know me. So you are talking just about one result. And as assistant coach, most of the time, the people who came to you said, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. So this is, to me, a big difference, and you have to be prepared. If you are not prepared, probably you are going to make a mistake, because when the things are going good, you are going to think like, I'm the best one. And when they say that, when the things are going bad, you are going to be very depressed.
Yeah. No, two things you said there that I think are really good. One for head coaches. And SGA was talking about this after the game last night, their approach now that the series is 1-1. But he said their approach as a team is stay level-headed and let's look at the game and see how we can still get better. Yeah, we won by 16, but how can we still get better? But remaining as a head coach, it's great advice to just, you have to stay level-headed. You can't get too high over a win, can't get too low over a loss. You have to stay level-headed, and that's where that next play, so what mentality comes in. That really applies when you're a head coach. But then I love what you said about for assistants is that you always have to check your motive. Like your motive, your motivation as an assistant. Like when, before you do something, is it helping the players? Is it helping the team? Or is it helping the head coach? Those mm-hmm. three things. If it's not helping any one of those three things, it's probably a waste of time. Those three things are paramount, like when you're an assistant. And the other thing I love that you said is that when you're in a meeting and your staff and you're talking this, and it's like it's the letters ADA, argue, debate, and then agree. So you got to argue and then you can debate about it. But then when the meeting is over and it's time to go to the court, like you said, it's the head coach. There's one sentence, one mindset, because the players can feel when the staff is not connected.
No doubt.
if you go out on the floor together, and you, how can we ask our players to be a team and be connected if one coach is this way, another coach is this way, another assistant is over here, the head coach is over there? Players are very smart, and they can feel the staff. You know, when the staff walks out on the floor, they're very smart, and they can just feel our vibe and our energy. So I really love that you said those things, because the coaches that follow us and listen to us are going to really gain from that. It's great advice.
And I'd say how you mentioned, too, is having these conversations behind closed doors. I feel like that's a lot of times somebody wants to address something like in practice, to walk up to them, and like when it's fresh on the brain, when the emotions are running hot, that's probably one of the hardest things, is to be able to step aside and be like, hey, let's put this aside. Let's remember this. And I'm going to come back to this later on and talk about it. But no, one thing that I have noticed, and this, it's along the lines of what you were saying, but a lot, I feel like a lot of times I've noticed just from doing this, and you obviously have not done it, but it just, you speaking on it made me think of it, was you see a lot of coaches now using the terminology they use. When they're talking, they'll say, oh yeah, like I implemented this or I did this. And instead of hearing, oh yeah, what we're looking to run this year, what we are looking to implement this year as a team, a lot of, and I feel like that little thing can transition and change a lot going forward. Because if you just start saying, the people around you are going to probably start saying the same thing. And then it's just going to be more individualized rather than one whole group. So no, I thought that was great that I came up, let me say, you mentioned it. And then I was thinking about it because I know we had somebody on here before that had mentioned it. And that's a great piece. But you as a head coach, you're the top of the line now, right? I know you obviously, you have a guy that you have to report to, probably the owner, the people who run the team, but still being a head coach of a large organization such as Manchester, what has been your main focus building this program over these past couple months? What are you just stepping into this role? Because I feel like the hardest thing, and at least what we hear all the time, is people stepping into a head coaching role, you're basically drinking from a fire hose. You have 1,000 things that you have to take care of. So what were some of the top priorities for you stepping into this as a head coach to tackle?
Yeah, when I get to Manchester, one of the first things I try to change the approach to make the players accountable, make the accountability. And to make the players accountable, so to me, you have to have habits. Habit is everything, in my opinion. So I try to change the way to practice, because in Manchester, they don't have the big training room into the arena or into the training facility. So they went to another place. So I said, no, that's that. What I feel about the coaches or about me, I'm facilitator. It's something we have in common, all of three, is we are not going to make any layup. You are not going to take any rebound. You're not going to make any steals. So we need the players. If you don't have the players, you don't have nothing. And if you don't have the players, you don't have nothing, you have to work for them. And I put myself behind the scenes sometimes. So what I try to organize with the people in Manchester is, okay, we don't have the big training room, so we are going to go in groups. So we have to come before, the training have to come before, and we are going to be like, okay, those three players go in this time. When those players are here, another three are going to be shooting or making skills. Another three are going to do vitamins. Another three are going to do video. I don't know. And then we start to flip the groups, and the practice is going to start in this and was more organized. And if you don't have, okay, another three are going to be after the practice to do with. So it's not perfect. No, it's not perfect. My son is not perfect. And I have to accept my son is not perfect. And I'm talking about the people, the person who I love in the world the most. So it's not perfect. The players are not perfect. The coaches are not perfect. Manchester is not perfect. But it's not perfect. And maybe if you talk with my brother, Philly is not perfect neither. But we can create the best situation with the thing we have. And you don't need the biggest weight to do with. You don't need to. Okay, this was the first thing I do in Manchester, just being organized and create habits. So we practice every day at the same time, every day in the same way, and we are going to have one style. And the style is going to be always the same. It's not, oh, no, in this pull-up two is fine, in this pull-up two is not fine. No, we don't want pull-up two. We don't want. and we want to play fast. And we want to run after steals, after rebound, and after makes. We want to run always. No, but now it's like you are winning by 10. You got to run. Because you are winning by 10 because you run before. You know what I mean? So we want to, I try to be habits. You have to run no matter what. I remember it. Then there are things. In Varese, we were winning to Milano. I was the head coach. We were winning Milano. The first time in the history that we probably win both EuroLeague teams in the same season. And we were winning Milano. And Matteo Librisi, one young guy, when Nico Mannion left the team, he was the point guard, the starting point guard, 22 years old. And we were playing against Nico Mannion, Shabon Shields, Leandro Bolmar, all those guys. And we were winning by 4. 10 seconds, we made the press break. He got the ball in the corner. He shoot 1-3 when he had the ball to get the foul. He was completely open in the corner. He shoot, he missed, and they scored 1-3 on Shaba after that. I called him. He looked at me like I was so mad. And he goes, "Coach, I was open." And I said, "Yeah, but it's 10 seconds. If they cut, you were up by 6, and the game is..." And then we won the game anyway. We won the game. But at the end of the day, when I arrived to my home, happy or happier because we won the game, I said, okay, at the end of the day, these guys told me like, okay, we are going to play like this. And this is the best feeling as a coach you can have. We are going to do this every single time, no matter what. The first thing I do when I went to Manchester was try to be organized, try to create habits from the players, and then try to be more aggressive. Because to me, there are something like flow is over the place. So I have a lot of set plays in my playbook, but I prefer flow over the or flow pace over the set plays. So I don't want people or players running, crossing just to start one set because the 4 have to be here, the 3 have to be there, the 5. I don't like it because I want to play fast. So if the 4 got the rebound, we push the ball with the floor, with the 4 men, and then we see what's happened and we start to play. And the second thing and more important is effort over the X and O. Effort is, to me, is effort, or you can say with different words, but to me, the effort is the most. I prefer 5 guys running like crazy without having any knowledge where they had to run, but doing convinced and aggressive than 5 guys looking everyone and trying to point fingers just to be right with what the coach wants. So at the end of the day, if you are going to run, and then we are going to see in the week if you make a mistake or not. You know what I mean? So those things, effort, accountability, and organize were the 3 first things I changed when I get to Manchester. We changed one thing before I get there. The team won like 30% of the games. And when I get there, the team won 80% of the game without any change, just because the players were more accountable and they talk about accountability between each other.
I love that. Effort, organization, accountability, habits. Like you literally just gave us, if you're building a house and you got to put 4 cornerstones, those are like 4 foundational things to build off of. And the best thing you said was right there at the end when the players are talking about it. Now that they actually help you, they help you hold them accountable by holding each other accountable.
Yeah. So now that's a player-led team.
Becomes part of your culture. Now you have like culture, part of your culture is accountability, which is great. And I remember when I, like we were speaking before we started, and when I interviewed for that job, they had mentioned that the different, you had to use like a fitness center or something, or it's like these different training facilities and you can only be here one day, then you had to be over here another day. I remember it was very all over the place. And so one of the best things it sounds like you did is just brought a consistency to the daily flow, not the basketball offense flow, but just organizationally. They had day to day, like the players knew, okay, this is what we're doing. And then that makes it easier to operate when they can have a consistency like that.
Yep.
Yeah, when you know what you're walking into, there's been kids like I've seen kids coach that they don't know if when they're going to a game, they don't know if they're playing 5 minutes. They don't know if they're playing 30 minutes. Now, obviously, each game is different, but if a kid or I should say a player or anybody doesn't know what they're walking into, they don't know how to prepare. am I going to go play or am I going to sit on the bench? Like, you don't know how to prepare yourself. And then mentally, that's like the biggest thing, is being able to prepare mentally. I'm going to go play 30 minutes this game. My team needs me. I got to step up, rather than I have no idea what's going to happen when I get there.
Yeah. I used to have some patterns in the games. It's not usual in Europe, because in Europe, mostly of the coach, which is fine, because you can win in different ways. So they are not the one way to win. But mostly of the coaches made the substitution because the feeling of what they are watching in the game, in the regular season, then in the playoff can change a little bit. But I used to have the same sub pattern every game, you know what I mean? So the players mostly know, like, at 7, 6, 5 minutes, I'm going to get in, and I'm going to play for 5, 6 minutes. And then I try to put the lineups, the best lineups, about the numbers. But I think I can help the players in that way. Okay, they know when they are going to get in. They know when they are going to get out. No matter what. Then you have to help me as a player. You know what I mean? Because if you made one own goal, or if you don't guard your man in 3 times in a row, maybe you are going to get out. But is the way to, as I say, like, I think I am a facilitator. I got to make the job of the players easy.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. At the professional level, I think that's another thing. I haven't ever coached professionally for a season, but I've had a few experiences with it, working with Team Nigeria, going to coaching in some of the qualifiers. So you're working with professional players there. Thankfully, I had a chance to coach in the Basketball Africa League the very first year and coaching some professionals for about 6 weeks. But the biggest thing it made me better at as a coach is collaboration is a big thing with professional players. Barking at them and just being a kind of a crazy man is just not the way to go. You have to create a collaboration, or maybe like a partnership. You've got to partner with them and help them and, you know, meet them where they are, develop a relationship with them, the way you communicate. So many of these things are just so important at the professional level, it seems, as a coach. And sometimes people can maybe miss that, but I like the word you're using is great, facilitator. Like, you're there to make everyone else's job easier, because if you make your assistant coach's job easier, that helps you automatically. And then obviously if you help the players, you know, them to learn how to be consistent and be accountable and all, that's automatically going to help you as well. So if you're able to help the people around you as a head coach, if you can help everybody else's job be easier, it's automatically going to help you by default.
It sounds like you got a good thing going all the way out so far, at least the time that you have spent with it. And I mean, at least selfishly, I could say that, looking forward to being able to follow you guys, because I know one thing that especially is huge nowadays and people talk about is being able to watch international basketball, different play styles and different techniques, tendencies. You can learn so much from them. At least selfishly, I can say, looking forward to watching you guys. But I'd say, like, the last question that we typically like to at least throw out there is, for you, we were to bring you back into your first coaching position, okay? Just thinking back from what you have known now and what you have learned, is there one piece of advice that you'd share with your younger self in the career that would ultimately help get, and especially, like I said, knowing what you know now as a head coach, thinking back, what kind of advice would you give your younger self?
If I gotta talk to myself like 20 years ago or even more, no more, like 30 years ago, because I started when I was 15.
It goes quick, right?
Yeah. Don't stop to study and put yourself in a comfortable situation. I used to work with a lot of former players, and some ones are really good, and some ones, like when you talk about numbers, they say, no, they don't, numbers or efficient or new trends to play, they say, no, that doesn't work. Because if they have to study, or even with some coaches, no, when they have to study, they are going to put themselves in uncomfortable situation where they have to accept, I don't know this, and I got to study. And always when you put yourself in the place where you have to say, I don't know, you are going to be uncomfortable. So I leave this situation in the opposite way. when I was working in Argentina, I was in the best club in Argentina. We played some scrimmage against NBA, Toronto Raptors in 2000. And I wasn't able to speak in English. And always said, I'm going to start. When the job in Japan came, so I realized, okay, the only thing I can talk is pick and roll, box out, and nothing more. And I was very lucky, like head coach, because the GM of Japan said, no, we can bring this guy because he doesn't know how to speak in English. But the head coach said, okay, he's gonna speak no matter what. I want this guy. But if the head coach at that point said, okay, I'm going to look for another English speaker beside like the what I knew about basketball, I loved that job, and maybe my career was completely different. And at the end of the day, whereas I was trying to put myself in one comfortable situation where, okay, with the Spanish, I'm fine to work in Argentina or even in South America, because there are a lot of places where you speak Spanish and you can make your career. But at the end of the day, it's okay, about time. You always put yourself like when you have to do weight every day. No, I don't have time. Yeah, but you have time. When you finish your day, you see in Instagram, you have like 2 hours in Instagram. Oh no, I want to spend time with my son. And then you see your son is playing PlayStation and you are just in the couch doing nothing. So don't put excuse to yourself, because if today I was sitting here or you told me, you asked me if I want to do this podcast, and I say I have to say no because I can't speak in English, I will regret myself, like, why? And I didn't start quick. I started when I was 30 years old or 32. I don't speak well, but I can communicate. Yeah. For that reason, when I went to Italy, the first thing I tried to do was speak in Italian. And right now I can speak in Italian, and I speak 3 languages. Good, bad, I don't know. For that reason, I show with you guys, it's easy for the English speaker because you go everywhere and you speak. So this is one advice, suggestion, because at the end of the day, I ain't nobody to say advice, but suggestion, okay, learn another language because it can open a lot of doors, and don't stop to learn, to study, because the basketball is going so fast, and the thing you did the last season, maybe the next season are not going to work, or they are old. You can win, for sure, but one of the worst things that can happen to me, to Herman, because I'm talking about Herman, is like if you talk with somebody and you don't have any idea about what they are talking. But then be open to say, I don't know this, but give me 1 hour. I'm gonna study harder than nobody, and I'm gonna give you my opinion, and you have to do it. So this is the advice.
So I will say this. I tried learning Italian. I didn't last very long. It did not last very long at all. Now, to your point, though,
being able to speak Italiano, si tu vuoi, eh?
Yeah, no idea. No, no idea. I tried.
The chow. No, like, he stopped at chow. He said he learned chow, and that was it. He stopped.
It was just like an app, gives you a couple words a day, and then I was like, Babel. You know what?
I tried it during COVID. Yeah, Babbel.
Yep. It was difficult, but to your point, being able to learn all of that definitely helps. And also it's expanding your mind and being able to, like, not only just learn different languages, but learn more, study more. At least it gets you in a habit of studying, whether it's languages or whether it's basketball. Like, that, at least you're getting in that habit of wanting to learn more. So that is great advice, because there's so many people out there, young coaches, that they know they want to be in the profession, but they don't know necessarily how. And it's, you can find ways. And that's the one thing I always say is, like, you will, if you really want something, you will find a way to make it work. You will find a way. It doesn't matter what's standing in your way. There are alternative routes to go, and there isn't just one way to get to be a head coach. So going off of that, you can learn and you can find different ways. So I'm appreciative for you sharing that, because there's definitely a lot of people international in the States, wherever it might be, that are wanting to be in your shoes. So that, I'm sure that will definitely help them out.
When I was young, I was sure when I was a kid, I eat basketball, hate basketball, I dream basketball, and I realized, or I knew that I wanted to leave basketball. When I realized I wasn't able, or I wasn't good enough to be a player, I became the best coach possible, and the basketball changed my life. Being professional basketball coach changed my life and the life of my son, because I start from very deep, and now my son is going to start the race a little higher. The race is going to be easier for him. So you got to find a way. Player is the best job in the world. Coaches, to me, is the second one. Coach, because I couldn't be player.
That's right. Same with all of us.
Yeah.
Great advice, man. Great advice.
Coach, like I said, we appreciate you for taking the time just to be able to give us an opportunity to learn from you. And thank you very much for chopping it up with us. Obviously, like I said, we're grateful, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that will definitely take something away from it. So thank you very much for giving us the time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for inviting me. So whenever you want, or you come to Argentina, or you go to Italy, Japan, just let me know. I can give you the real advices, you know, where you have to be, where you have to go.
No, that's right. We got a resource now. This is good. This is good for us.
I want to take a trip soon. Italy is a great vacation. So I will be sure to reach out to you for some restaurants and stopping
points. Anytime.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You guys. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And everybody, that is another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. As always, Alan Major, Doug Caputo out here. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode. And as we say, keep working and keep rising, coaches.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.